Well, we're on the home. You know, this is, I read this thing just like the pastor did, and you can get something out of it. If I remember correctly, I think his name was Jonathan Edwards, and he preached a message on sinners in the hand of an angry God, and he read the whole message. How many ever heard of that? A few of you. And they say, this is back in the 1700s in some early colonial America, and they say that reading that, I know what the text was, their foot shall slide in due time. You read that over in Deuteronomy. And people were holding on to the end of their pews, you know, like they're sliding into hell, and just God used it mightily. So I don't think that'll happen here tonight, but, you know, so you can get something out of it. You know, as I was looking this thing over, you're gonna see some things in here tonight that I go over that the pastor, he stole my fire, okay, because he preached half of this book Sunday morning on Father's Day. I mean, talked about the husband, talked about the wife. You talked about the marriage, didn't he? Yeah. And so I said, oh, shoot. And by the way, these are his notes. He did all the work for this booklet and the discipleship one. He's working on discipleship 3 right now. Yeah, pray for him. He's a good pastor. You know that. And he works hard and diligently. He's serious about the work, and that's a blessing. And so I told Tim, I said, Daniel stole my fire. And says, and I told him what I just told you about the, and he said, that's okay, they forgot it already. That's, let's pray. Lord, we love you. You've been so good to us, and you saved us, and through us, by us trusting in you, shedding your blood for our sins and redeeming us and justifying us, all these things, God, that we received when we received your Son as our Savior. And we love you, Lord, and because you first loved us, and you certainly expressed it. We thank you so much for that. We thank you for the Bible, and you've not left us without a chart, without a book, without something to guide us. You've given us thy Holy Spirit. We love it. Thank you. He abides with us forever. And thank you, God. Forgive us for grieving you, dear Lord. We've grieved you. And we've quenched you. And we're sorry. And God, give us something here from your word and from this study. Thank you for our pastor. And Lord, the work he does and the love he has for this church and its people and the work here. God bless him and fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and use them over there to be an encouragement to that group that shows up for that meeting every year. And help me tonight, Lord. I don't want to say anything wrong or lead anybody the wrong way, give them the wrong impression about this or that. And so I'll trust you, Lord, that you'll guide my lips and everything I say and do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, so you got the Christian home is the name of the lesson. And you find the word house, home, whole, household. You find it over 2,000 times in your Bible. Sometimes it's the house of Jacob. It's a home. And so this is the lesson. And Joshua said this, and I have this, I put it out in front of my door when I lived in Missoula, and everybody come in my house, there's a big plaque there, and I got it over my top of my door at the apartment that I live. Someone made it for me about like that, wooden, and it has Habman on it, and then it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that that's your goal and that's what you want to do. And so let's look at this thing and look at your introduction tonight. In this lesson, and I'm going to reread it. It's kind of strange for me to do this. And in this lesson, we will be discussing the Christian home. It is very important for the believer to know the simple yet necessary Bible, and you can fill in the blank, you know, truths. Truths, T-R-U-T-H-S, regarding the home. The devil is intent on destroying the home. The Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's out to destroy the home. And he'll look for any weak point, husband, wife, or children, and begin to dismantle it from the inside out. And God has given us many principles and commands to follow regarding how the home is to be ordered. Paul says, let everything be done decently and in order, and how it's to be ordered and arranged. And we will briefly take each part of the home to gain insight into what God has told us about it from the Bible. Now, I know the pastor wrote this thing up, and I'm going to be a little repetitive of what he said and Sunday morning, but it's the way it is. So I hope you're got a pen and pencil and you're filling these blanks in. What does the Bible say about marriage? It is an honorable institution between a man and a woman. The Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. I'm glad he did. Amen. I need all the help I can get. And don't you, men? And so he says in Genesis, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, that doesn't mean every man has one less rib. That's just the first Adam, okay? And, somebody, they've got all these stupid things, you know, that they say, oh, all men have one less rib, they're going all to Adam, you know? And he said he took the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woe man. It's been woe to man ever since. Amen. That's a man with a womb. You see it? Woe man and woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, you don't get offended at some of this stuff. You know, you've been around me long enough, okay? And you got to take me with a ton of salt. Because she was taken out of man, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Amen. And I like that cleaving part, don't you? Well, amen. You guys that are single, shut up. But amen. I hope you all get married, you guys and gals. And it's a great thing. Amen. Being married. And of course, I'm not anymore. I mean, Dirty Jane left me, you know. Call it a stinker, you know. Anyway, shall cleave unto his life, and they shall be one flesh. And you want to keep that in mind, this one flesh business. Now, Hebrews 13 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And it was God who came up with the idea of marriage. He invented it and said it's honorable in all. In the Old Testament, men often had more than one wife, but Paul makes it clear in the New Testament that you should have one wife or one husband. And, of course, 1 Corinthians 7 has some things to do about the marriage. And he says, and nevertheless, in verse number 2, in chapter number 7, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband. Later on in that particular passage, it says it is better to marry than to burn. Amen. And that was something that helped me, I'll tell you that. And Jane, when we first met, and not going to go into it, okay? But look at B. It is a good thing that brings God's favor. Proverbs 18:22, you should have read it today. How many read Proverbs 18 today? Oh, you're going to read it before you go to bed, right? I know the rest of you, yeah. And Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor in the Lord. You guys that want a wife, go start looking. Amen. There's enough around, okay? Which is the problem with a lot of guys these days. They want Miss America. Well, you probably won't get a Miss America, okay? Probably get somebody that's kind of like you. And you're not Mr. Charles at last, you know? And but whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So she's a good thing. Amen. And obtain a favor of the Lord. You want to get in good with the Lord. And that's one way. The Bible says over there in Proverbs, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor with in the sight of God and man. So there's a number of other scriptures. I'll just give you the scripture references where you can find that term favor with God. Acts 7:46, if you're taking notes. Proverbs 8:35, talking about wisdom. And even Luke 2:52, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as he grew there at the end of that chapter. It is understood, second paragraph there, that the wife in the verse is referred to as a good thing. But where there is a wife, also there's also a husband. Essentially, God says marriage is a good thing. Now, I always, I just can't help but say things about my marriage that I had and Jane and all that. A lot of you knew her, and Jane knew her the best, and was her best friend. But I wasn't looking. Sorry, I just wasn't looking. She was. And I remember first time Jane came to see the ball game, and I'm playing out there playing ball down there in Strasburg, softball, and Jane came down from Bismarck because Jane, my Jane, wanted that Jane to see Charles at last. And she said, and I remember, I can see her, my wife, or Jane at the time, we weren't married, just says, there he is. She was looking for a husband, and she got one. And didn't get the best deal, but see, it is blessed by God. Genesis 5:2, male and female made created them and blessed them and called their name Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, and in the day when they were created. So God blesses the marriage. He's happy about that, and it pleases him. God is, well, there it is. God is pleased with couples who set out to serve the Lord together. And if I can emphasize it and maybe emphasize it over and over, if you're married, we served the Lord together. And that's how it ought to be in a marriage. And be all both on the same page business here, not going in different directions. We'll have more to say about that in this study, Lord willing, tonight. But together, I like that word, and it's good. Be a team. I think you ought to be a team. And we were a team. I remember they used to call my wife, you know, they call a gal, they walk around with a bag, they call them the bag lady. You ever hear that? The bag lady? My wife walk around, she's the track lady. And she had in her purse all kinds of tracks. And I'd be witnessing to somebody, you know, it's just like Jonathan and his armor bearer. And he fought the battle and got things ready, and the armor bearer would, you know, finish them off. And so I'd get somebody going and talk to him, and Jane would be praying and looking through her tracks. What track is good for this person? You know, because you got so many different tracks that dress it and give the same gospel, doesn't change, but in a different way. You understand what I'm talking about? Like we have in the track rack. And boy, I'd get done talking and go as far as I could, and she'd give them the old track. Teamwork! That's what we were. And it's a duty, D. He said in Exodus, if he take him another wife or food or raiment or duty of marriage, shall he not diminish, even though we are not under the law in the New Testament. It is worth pointing out that the Bible says marriage is a duty. A duty is an act of respect as well as owing, O-W-I-N-G, another, and an obligation to another. Many people intermarry with marriage with the idea that their spouse is going to cater to their wants and needs. And if you're, that's how you are or think that way, you will quickly be disappointed. It doesn't work that way. When this wrong understanding of marriage often leads to divorce. When people marry, they have a duty to put someone else's needs before their own. It's just a whole different ballgame now. And it's just not you. You got somebody to take care of and to minister to. By the way, you minister to her, she ministers to you. And it's a give and go thing here, something like that. The right kind of marriage is selfless, S-E-L-F-L-E-S-S, not selfish. When both individuals understand and practice this, the marriage is generally happy and successful. Now, number two, what are the husband's responsibilities? Now, there's a checklist for you men, and if I could just say this in the scriptures, there's a number of things that the Bible says, but I would take Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. And it starts out with submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, and wives, submit yourselves to your husband, etc. And then it goes on about husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then it tells how you ought to treat your wife. And there's a lot of other scriptures, but I think that's paramount. And that is a good thing to look over and read once in a while and freshen yourself. What are the husband's responsibilities? To love his wife. There it is. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for them. Men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. There's no greater love to follow. A wife's greatest need is to be loved. L-O-V-E-D. So God assigned husbands to meet this need. Husbands will never reach a point where they have loved their wives enough. And so their love for their wives needs to continually grow. Now, I was raised with no love in my life, none. My dad left when I was 9 or 10. My mom, my name's John. My dad's name was John, and she took out her frustrations on me, and I didn't have any love whatsoever. And honestly, I had a rough time in my marriage, and just getting John Haveman out of John Haveman. Took years, you know. I still deal with them, but not in that respect as much as I did in loving. I didn't know who to love. What the heck? I didn't know what love was. And so, I mean, I know God loved me and gave himself for me, and I trusted Christ, but I didn't know how to give that love, and like I should, and I knew I should. Well, a husband loves his wife by giving himself for her. This expenditure of effort meets his wife's needs to be loved. Colossians chapter 3 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So no, don't get bitter against your wife. I mean, they're dingy, I know that, but you're not the smartest kid on the block either, you know, and you make your mistakes. Amen. And a husband's wired very different. Now, Pastor talked about this, than a wife. Men and women are complete opposites in how they think and act. Because of this, husbands tend to get bitter toward their wives because they are so different. And I had to deal with that. And you may have to deal in how to handle day-to-day. Says, that was a dumb thing to do, what, you know? And, you know, we just lose it. And you need to be very careful about that. Well, in fact, next verse is going to kind of address this a little bit. They must resist the temptation to become bitter. Now, see, to dwell according to knowledge. It's very important with his wife. Now, that's in 1 Peter 1 through 7. But he says in verse number 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto his wife as unto the weaker vessel. And she is. And she's the one that took the fruit, you know, and got tempted. She's the weaker vessel spiritually and weaker vessel physically. I don't know this thing about, I better not get into that. And I would like to about what, but I'm not going to. And he said, giving honor unto his wife as unto the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life. that your prayers be not hindered. Oh, I mean, there's times that your wife is just, she's tired. Amen. She's just a little goofy. We got to understand those times. Got to learn that. You got to study that thing. And back off, buddy, you see. And it will take time. Wait a second. According to Nan, that your prayers be not hindered. Jane laid that on me. She did, right? I mean, I was pretty rough. And she laid that on me. I want my prayers answered. Don't you? And there are a lot of things that'll plug that thing up. One of them being bitter and letting that thing work and not treating them the right way. It'll take time and effort for a man to learn how to... I'm just opening up to you because that's just the way it is. Amen. I'm going to die pretty soon. Let it all hang out. Enough will be told about me by my kids afterwards. You know, my kids, I got them all, their pastors, you know, and all that. And they learned what not to do by following me, you know, and a lot of things. And it will take time and effort for a man to learn how to, time and effort, in your notes, to learn how to dwell with her according to knowledge without learning about her. The husband must learn that his wife can, what his wife can and cannot handle. And while giving honor to her, he should treat her with respect while figuring these things out. He must seek to work with her, not against her, since they are heirs together of the grace of life. You know, God's given us a good life in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Amen. We were saved by grace. And God's grace is sufficient for us in all situations. And he's just given us we're together on this, and many people don't have that grace of life type attitude. And that's just because they haven't learned these things or practiced them. To honor his wife, verse number D. Likewise, your husband dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This does not mean that he is to obey her. The husband is to have a high estimation of his wife. Practical ways that men can honor their wives, this is very good, is by speaking well of them. Amen. You know, something in your marriage, or you know, your wife doesn't meet this, or she messed up here. Don't complain to anybody. Amen. Too many men do that, and we're at the husband's responsibility. Yeah, and don't complain to others about her. I mean, you brought her to the dance, buddy. You dance with her. Amen. That's supposed to be funny, but practical ways and being attentive to them. Turn the page. B, to act responsibly as the authority and ultimate decision maker. I mean, so there's no 50-50. It's got to be 51-49 at least. Amen. He's got to have that final call. Maker of the affairs. Now, that doesn't mean you don't talk things over and weigh it this way. And you husbands and us husbands, we do well to listen to our wives. They got a lot of wisdom. They walk with God, try to walk with God also. And so I know there's a lot of things I should have listened to my wife, but I was too bullheaded. I know none of you are. And I should have listened to her. And I'm paying the price tonight. Okay. He is referred to as the head of the home. Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Anything with two heads is a monster. Thus, the Lord has entrusted a husband with his authority and responsibility. To render benevolence, that's the disposition to do good and be kind, and a desire to promote her happiness or his happiness. because the wives treat the husband and render benevolence to him also. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife. Well, there it is. Get ahead of myself all the time. And I'm sure I offended some of you already by now, but I don't mean to. I'm just telling it like it is, and you can learn from some of the things I'm saying. And Corinthians 7, in marriage, the last paragraph there, a husband should prioritize his wife and understand the importance of mutual benevolence. Greg Chikarian, did you ever know him, Jane, or hear of him? And he was that airline pilot that I knew. And long story short, when Jane died, he sent me a text and said she was the kindest person one could ever know. I wrote that in my Bible. And but anyway, what's the wife's responsibility? To be subject to her own husband. And ladies, read, so you ought to read Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 on a regular basis. Who can find a virtuous woman thrice far above rubies? Her husband safely trusts in him and should have no need of spoil. Hoofta. And I mean, I put in there, and I got Jane all over in that place, boy. I mean, she was a Proverbs 31 lady. And ladies, oh, read it and weep. That would be so good. To be subject to their husband, therefore, as Ephesians 5:24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the wife is submitted to her own husband. That is, the Lord leads her through husband and no one else. Not your pastor, although you listen to the pastor, not your boss. You know, you're not in subjection. You are subjection in a certain way, but he is the final authority there. A husband's greatest need is to rule. So God has assigned the wife to meet that need by submission. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And the husband obeys the Bible and fears God. The wife that obeys the Bible and fears God will submit to her husband, because in doing so, she is submitted to Jesus Christ, or Christ there. The wife does not need to decide if the husband is worthy, because none of us are. We're all a bunch of scumbags. And of her submission, the truth, well, there it is. The truth is, no man is worthy of submission. It is her responsibility to obey the command given. Oh, we're going right along by the Lord. To love her husband, top of page 64, Titus 2:4 says that they may teach the young women to be sober. Where's that? Come on, ladies. Teach those young women, young women that come into the church and are just, growing up. You're to teach them. What? To love their husbands, to be serious, and to love their children. And we need that. We need that. We need some of you older ladies and that have been around, and you know the Lord, and you have a walk with the Lord. You can help them. And, everybody has something to do in the body. Amen. And until you die, or the Lord would have taken you, you still got something to do, every one of us. And to reverence her husband, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. To reverence is to respect and to esteem. Accompanying the need to rule is the need to be respected. I took care of my wife for 10 years with that cancer business all over the New York, Indiana, Mexico, multiple times, mucho times, and took her all over. I could tell you stories, but she said she would tell people I'm her hero. That was pretty humbling, because I know what I am like. And but my love grew. And I'm by ministering to my wife, my love for her. I was so busy in the ministry for 35 years or whatever it was, and so busy in the ministry and making ends meet and, pastoring a couple churches at one time and running a a business and working 80 hours a week and 90 hours a week, and I didn't have any time for her. Well, the Lord fixed that as I dropped everything and just ministered to her. And anyway, D, to render benevolence to her husband. I'm not super Joe Christian, that's for certain. But God just worked in my heart, and he'll work in your heart. And I don't know what he has to do to get some of us to change something. I know what he had to do to me. Verse D, to render benevolence to her husband, let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Mentioned that already. Wife should understand the importance of mutual benevolence in healthy marriages. A husband and wife are content, want to be one with one another. Amen. Best times I ever had is when we could get away from the kids just a little bit and take a day off, or go over to get a motel some out of town by the lake there in Coeur d'Alene. We had our favorite thing. It was next to the sauna and the swimming pool, you know. And we didn't have much money, but we'd take it a couple days. And boy, it was just great. And we loved being together. And there wasn't a lot of time when I was in the ministry, and my fault. Prioritize her relationship with Jesus Christ. Told you I was going to talk about my marriage here tonight. You can know everything about me. A relationship with Jesus Christ, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. This relationship will cultivate in her a meek and quiet spirit. There are times when a husband do not obey the word. Talks about that in Peter. And wives who try to force their husbands to obey the word will never be successful. It ain't going to work. I've seen it many times. Let the Lord work them over. Boy, she prayed, the Lord worked me over too a lot of times. He'll work you over if you don't. You ladies need to just kind of remember that. And the Lord will convict the husband by a wife who continues to serve the Lord with the right spirit. I certainly could give you a lot of examples of that kind of thing about women trying to force their husbands to obey the Bible and be a better Christian. Let it go. Just commit it to the Lord. And what are the children's responsibility? You kids, listen up. To honor the parents. This is for you kids now, children. And Exodus says in top page 65, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord hath given you. Ephesians 6 says this, the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. David, what does the Bible say?
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Amen. He got that thing down. And then it says this, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He always asked Dr. Brown, an old pastor friend of mine, one of my mentors years ago. Dr. Brown, you know, he said, I got so many wrinkles in my face that when I cry, the tears run into my ears. And he said, how'd you live so long? He said, I always obeyed my parents. And I drink Folgers. the opposite of honor is to despise. A child is not always going to agree with all the decisions. Tell me about it. With all the decisions of their parents, but they must be careful not to despise them. To obey their parents. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And God's pleased with that when you obey him. Yes, sir. And he went down. The Lord went down and came to Nazareth and was subject to him. Jesus Christ could obey his parents. Well, so can a child. And then to requite their parents. The Bible says over there in 1 Timothy, if any widow have children, nephews, let them learn to first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. To requite means to repay or recompense. And, of course, when I had these strokes, I mean, my kids, I was like a hot potato. And they passed me from kid to kid to kid, you know. I finally ended up here. Aren't you blessed? And anyway, they took care of me. I mean, they do. My kids take care of me. And they call me all the time. I like to call them. And we got a good thing going. And all right. What are the parents' responsibilities? Okay, parents. I like what Yogi Bear said. Yogi Bear said, Little League is a very good thing because it keeps parents off the streets. I thought that was pretty good. Yogi Bear was a catcher for the Yankees years ago. Look it up. You always Google everything anyway. Might as well Google something good. And what are the parents' responsibilities? Well, they ought to be a team, one flesh, same page, said it already. Love them. Amen. Teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children. Children need their parents' attention. One kid says, I know my dad loves me. He says, how do you know that? Because he spends time with me. That's what they need. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but a big piece of quality time. You can come home from work and say, what did you do today? What did you learn today? Tell them about your day. You can do a lot of things with your kids and spend time and give attention to them. They need attention. If they don't get it from you, they're going to get it some other place. And normally that's not very, very good. Children need their parents' attention. I got a text from David the other day, Father's Day. He said this, Happy Father's Day, Dad. Thank you for teaching me how to field the fly ball. He's a lefty. And swing a splitting maul, among many other things. And then he said something pretty nice. But you spend time with him and teach him how to play catch. We used to, in our backyard there at 115 South Tahoe there in Missoula, we had a badminton thing in the back. We played ball in the back. Wiffle ball, you just can't play baseball in the backyard, you know, too much. We had some good games, man. And spend time with them, take them hunting. I'm not a hunter, never was a fisherman, really. My dad didn't do it, and blah, blah, blah. But I got Suburbans and bought many Suburbans and took them up in the mountains, and I'd sit there, drink coffee, eat peanuts and sandwiches, and they'd go up and chase the elk around. Amen. Amen. But it took them. Spend time with them. That meant a lot to them, I'm sure. And anyway, we got to keep moving on. Children, particularly when they are young, need to be trained. It is a travesty that parents will recognize the need for training in the workplace. Isn't that something? In order to advance their careers, and Pastor said this the other day, and yet neglect to train their children for life. Children need instruction and want clear boundaries. Be home by 9:30. What kid wants to be home at 9:30 when he's 18 years old? and clear boundaries. Let me tell you something, young people. Stay clean. Stay clean. Be careful what you watch. Be careful who you hang with. But stay clean. Sarah's verse was when she was a teenager, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. Stay clean. I got that. We had camp, didn't we? I wear that around the apartment where I live. Clean. Amen. Now you're clean through the word, you know what I mean. Stay clean. Amen. Come down that aisle, virgins. I mean, men too. I'm being real plain with you, but that's the way it is. I know maybe that didn't happen with your marriage, and you ask God to forgive you. Don't have to lament that the rest of your life. Just tell God you're sorry. Move on. Stay clean, though. You don't have to. You can go down that aisle clean. And I tell my kids that my wife and I never came together until we got married. And I led a very, 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 very immoral life. And we waited. Now, that's pretty rough for a guy like me, and that the life I had. You can do it. And my kids know that. And my youth group knew it. I told them. Let's go to C. Bring them up in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to the wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Unfortunately, many children are dragged up. That's what I was. Rather than brought up. Bring them up faithfully by bringing them to church, youth activities. We're talking about the parents, aren't we? I thought we were talking about kids, too. Oh, did I goof up somewhere here tonight? Oh, okay. And by faith, we'll bring them to church, to youth activities, to VBS and youth camp. Bring them up by reading the Bible. We'd sit around in our living room. I'm just giving my examples, and I don't even know if I follow everything I did. We'd sit around, and my wife taught my kids how to read. And, you know, they always, you know, like, in the, you know, getting, you know, and old Rachel, she just start get the big crocodile tears, you know, cause, and actually, well, I won't say anymore. You have a good pastor. Have a family altar, and then let everybody pray. Don't take time for that. You've got to take time for that. It's very important. Turn the computer off and the phone off. And we have all these things that are just out of hell, right out of hell, that are distractions. Provide for them, lastly. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those, we're talking about parents, he hath denied the faith and is worth sin info. We're to provide for them. I mean, their clothing. I mean, not just their spiritual. We're talking about, you know, their food. And I can tell you times we were down to nothing, and the kids saw us praying. I worked. I worked anything I can do to tree the coon. I mean, just anything to make a living. I worked at the Missoula Inn in the mail room, drive my bicycle, 10-speed bicycle, 46 years old, driving that bicycle down the road in the middle of the night, coming back from stuffing papers, the Sunday paper. I had a light that I picked up at a rummage sale for $2. I had a, you put the thing on the wheel, had a wheel on it, and when the wheel went on, Pat, it generated a light. I'd be going down those streets and what for? Providing for. You know, whatever you have to do if you have work, two or three jobs. That's the way it is. And then balance all that stuff out. How do you do that? The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. Well, we're done. Right on time. Father, you are so good. You've helped me. You've really helped me. I can't take credit for anything. Anything good that's come out in my wife's and I and the kids, it's you. The mess ups were when we didn't allow you to lead us. And I pray for these that are gathered here tonight. God bless them. Every group. You got the kids, you got the parents, you got singles, married. God help. Help them. God, grandparents. Lord, help us to be better. And Lord, just take these things to heart and allow you to just do a great thing. God, we know, and I see in it, a strong men and strong families make a strong church. And this is a good church, and we do have good families, and we do have some good men and ladies. And I love these kids, and they're trying, and they're faithful. And God, but we can all do always. There's always room for improvement, and only you can do help us in that in the areas we're weak in, dear Lord. So bless our dismissal tonight. Help us to take it to heart. Bless our services coming up this Sunday, and especially our pastor as he preaches over there in Dillon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.